It's a big simcha to be here because I had the privilege of making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael 38 years ago in 1987 with a group of friends, with a chevra, and it made a very big difference. We were all students of the same rabbi, Rabbi Rosenfeld, Rabbi Tsviari Rosenfeld, who was one of the leading Breslov rabbis in America at the time. And as the Torah encourages, and as Rabbi Nachman encouraged, Eretz Yisrael, it's the place to be, the right place to be. So all of us were always waiting for the opportunity to be able to come. And Hashem decided that it should be at that time. It was 1987, June, where a group of us, about 11 families, who had purchased apartments earlier on paper in Har Nof, when it was in the process of being built. So at that time, you were able to buy a three-bedroom apartment in Har Nof for $75,000. Tell that to somebody today. You're lucky if you can buy a closet, a walk-in closet for that amount, right? But we were very fortunate, very blessed. And the fact that we came as a chevra like that made a tremendous difference. None of us, including some additional friends who ended up coming, none of us went back. Everyone remained here. Everyone married off their children and grandchildren, many Kanayin HaHara, Baruch Hashem. So it was a tremendous hatzlacha. And coming here, coming to Efrat, and coming to this kehila specifically, which has that incredible benefit of kehila, people that share similar ideals, and people that have a rabbi guiding them and leading them, and enjoy their Yiddishkeit, people where their Yiddishkeit is not an obligation, it's a privilege. And it's something people look forward to. People look forward coming to shul Friday night. Men, women look forward to coming to shul, to the joy of the beauty of Shabbos, the beauty of all the chagim. It's very special. And I remember the humble beginnings when they were first starting to raise money to build a shul here. And to see this magnificent, magnificent building, Kanayin HaHara, with all the amenities, with the different shul, and to know that it's full, to know that there's standing room only crowd on Friday night, and other incredible accomplishments, something very, very special. Hashem should help. It should continue to grow and flourish and play a major role in bringing the Geula. Very simple, bringing the Geula. Being that Hanukkah is coming this week, we'll speak about Hanukkah, which people have different perceptions. There are people who, when they hear that something is midoraisa, it's from the written Torah, there are some people that think that that's real Judaism. There are people, unfortunately, lo aleinu, who, when they hear that this is a rabbinical law or a rabbinical holiday, they take it less serious and they might think it's less significant. So I'd like to share one of the most important things that I ever heard from my rabbi regarding to address this issue and how it relates to Hanukkah. The Shelah HaKadosh, Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz, who lived about 500 years ago approximately and made an incredible effort to come to Eretz Yisrael and succeeded and was declared the chief rabbi at that time of Eretz Yisrael unanimously by the people who were here. And he wrote a set of sforim called Shelah Shnei Luchai Sabris and accepted across the board in Klal Yisrael as very, very, and he's referred to as Shelah HaKadosh, that title that's given to him, that's not given necessarily to many other rabbis. And he addresses this issue. He says that if we take a look at the holiday of Shavuos, when Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael and Har Sinai, most people would tell you, you ask them, what did Hashem actually present on Har Sinai? And they'll tell you the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows that. But what everybody doesn't necessarily know is that Hashem only presented two of them. Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and he said, that was the first one, and then he said, Lo Yelecha Elokim Acherim, no idol worship, and then everyone died. Their souls left them. Because the light that was being presented at Har Sinai was so bright, it was too bright for us to be able to handle. And the Gemara says that angels were sent down with the dew of Tchiyas HaMesim to bring everyone back to life. And when they did come back to life, they realized that we're not cats, we're human beings. We don't have nine lives. We don't know if this is going to happen. If Hashem does this again, we don't know if this is going to happen a second time. So they pleaded with Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber no ato itonu, please you speak to us so that we'll be able to handle it. They understood that coming from Moshe Rabbeinu, they had a better chance of being able to receive the light more filtered in a way that wouldn't cause that kind of reaction. So that we know, most Jews are familiar with the sentence, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. That Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, he gave us the Torah. The word Torah, Tof Vav Resh Hei, is 611, which is telling us that of the 613 commandments, two of them were given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, six by Hashem. 611 we received via Moshe Rabbeinu. So there are people who might want to say, with all due respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't compare what we hear directly from Hashem to what you hear from a human being. I mean, the greatest tzaddik, you can't compare it, right? The Shulchan Aruch Kodesh says, yes, you can. And in fact, the Gemara says, when the Gemara presents this, the wording in the Gemara is, Anochi v'lo yilecha mipi gvura nemra. That the first two commandments we received from Hashem, but the wording is from the mouth of the Almighty. That's the wording that's used, mipi gvura. And we know nothing is coincidence. The fact that those two words are used, mipi gvura, the numerical value of mipi gvura is exactly the same numerical value as Moshe. In order for us to know that from our perspective, what we hear directly from Hashem and what we hear from Moshe Rabbeinu, to us, it's exactly the same. No one questions Shabbos, whether observing Shabbos. Hashem didn't tell us about, Moshe Rabbeinu told us about Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu told us about not committing murder. All the mitzvahs, the eight of the Ten Commandments we received from Moshe Rabbeinu. And all of us know that it's a set. It's a complete set. No, the other eight aren't in any way less than the first two. The Shulchan Aruch Kodesh says, okay, we solve that. But that doesn't address, that's fine. If we were living during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, some of us would be confident that we would make the right choice. Don't forget, there was a choice to be made then. Moshe Rabbeinu had opposition every step of the way. The 40 years, and when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the job, when he offered him the job, Hashem said to him, beware, they're a tough bunch, these Jews. Am ksheorif, they're sarvonim. And Moshe Rabbeinu still took on the responsibility and stuck to it his whole life. However, we know that, for example, in the Machlokas, when Korach rose up to oppose Moshe Rabbeinu, he had 250 rabbis of the Sanhedrin. 250 leading rabbis joined with Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. A person would say, how in the world is that possible? It's impossible. It doesn't make any sense. The people witnessed, they saw that the plagues in Egypt, they saw the splitting of the Red Sea. Korach didn't do it. Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody saw that. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, all the miracles, all these successes were these two were leading everything. How could anybody possibly make a mistake? And the answer is that the same challenge that we have today is the same challenge that they had thousands of years ago from the beginning of time. The basis of creation, the most important basis of creation is Bechira, free choice. That Hashem has designed the world in such a way that only human beings have this challenge, this test of the ability to choose to accept Hashem's authority or to reject Hashem's authority, to accept Moshe Rabbeinu or Chas V'Shalom to reject Moshe Rabbeinu. That Bechira, an angel doesn't have that, a bird doesn't have that, no animal, a river, an ocean doesn't have that, no one, only man has that. And the one of the great rabbis, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, reveals an incredible point. He says, we read a week or two ago, we read about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik. We don't say Reuven HaTzadik. We don't say Levi HaTzadik, even though they were tzadikim. But this person earned that title in history, throughout the history of the Jewish nation, Yosef HaTzadik. And the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu, his father, taught all of his sons. It's a mitzvah to teach your children Torah. He taught all of his sons. But we're told that he gave over all of his knowledge to Yosef HaTzadik. And this Yosef HaTzadik approaches his brothers and tries to make them aware of his position, that Hashem has put him in a position of leadership. Even though Yehuda is compared to a lion, Reuven is the Bechor, Yosef HaTzadik, Eile Toldos Yaakov, Yosef. These are the produce of Yaakov, Yosef. And that's one of the interpretations of that pasuk, that Yosef was a carbon copy of all the positive things in his father, in Yaakov Avinu. And yet, again, Bechira, free choice, these great rabbis, the Shvatim, where Hashem places his seal of approval on each one of them. In the Torah, it calls them Hara Uveni, Hashimoni. Hashem puts the letters of his name, Yud-Heh, on each one of these tribes. They're called Shiftei Ka, Shvatim, divine Shvatim. 10 of them felt, the Torah says, Vayikanu Bo'echa, they were jealous. Vayisnu Oisei, they hated him. V'layachlu Dabro L'Shalom, they couldn't have a peaceful conversation. And they came to a decision, these rabbis, these very learned people, came to a decision according to the Torah that they're justified in killing him. We know the Torah speaks about death penalty. There is death penalty for certain crimes, skila, sreifa, heret, all kinds of things. They came to a unanimous decision that this is what we need to do. And then the Torah says, Vayishma Reuven, Vayatzileu Miyadam. Reuven heard about it, and he saved Yosef HaTzadik. Now note, it doesn't say Vayatzi, it saved him. It says Vayatzileu Miyadam. He saved him from their hands. How did he do it? He said, there's a pit of snakes and scorpions here. Why should we kill? Why should we stab him like Cain killed Hevel, like you see in the movies? What? Throw him into the pit of snakes and scorpions, and we'll be able to say a wild animal to... And the brothers thought it's a good idea. They accepted his guidance, and they went ahead and did it. They threw him into a pit of snakes and scorpions. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, Hatzalah? We know Hatzalah. We live here in Israel. There's an organization called Hatzalah that saves lives, that does incredible, incredible good work. This, the Torah doesn't lie, and the Torah, they know how to use words properly. The Vayatzileu, he saved Yosef, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that Yosef was in safer hands, he was in better hands with the snakes and scorpions than he was in the hands of these great tzaddikim, Reuven the Shiftei Ka, because a snake does not have free choice. A snake won't bite, a snake won't approach a person unless it's given a direct command by Hashem to do it. And we human beings have the ability to choose to comply with the will of Hashem or to go against, chas v'shalom, the will of Hashem. Hashem lets the leash out to a degree to give us the ability to choose. You want to do the right thing? Wonderful. You want to do the wrong thing? You won't be stopped. Habolet Taher, Misayin Lo. Habolet Tamei, Poschen Lo. Both options are available. And that's why it says Vayatzi, he saved him from their hands. He rescued him, he took him out of the hands of human beings who have free choice and put him into a pit of snakes and scorpions where they couldn't touch him because they weren't given instructions. They weren't given a green light to harm him in any way. And when the brothers said, let's do this, and we'll prove that his dreams were false, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says they made a mistake. His dreams could have been true, that he was destined for leadership, everyone would bow to him, as they did. And they could have blocked it. They could have caused it not to happen. They could have, chas v'shalom, prevented Yosef from saving the Jewish people, Remember, eventually Yosef goes down to Egypt. His father and brothers go down to Egypt. The Jewish nation spends 210 years in Egypt and survive. And they survived. And they came out as a nation thanks to the seeds that were planted by Yosef HaTzadik. Thanks to the fact that he was there first and the tests that he passed and everything accomplished made it possible for us to be able to survive for 210 years. This is how far this issue of free choice goes in terms of what we have to deal with. So now, going back to what we started with, the Shulchan Kodesh says, if we were living during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, could any of us know whose side we would have been on? Would we have chosen to be loyal to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen? Or if we saw these 250 rabbis and Korach, who was very wealthy, very charismatic, he had a sense of humor, he was able to be sarcastic, make jokes about Moshe Rabbeinu a whole night, that the Torah says? We don't know. And the only way a person can really know is, our rabbis tell us, is if a person shows faith and respect to the rabbis of their generation, then they can know that if they were living during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they also would have shown proper respect. They wouldn't have joked about Moshe Rabbeinu. They wouldn't have made that wrong choice, that wrong decision. But the question is, there are many people who will say, okay, fine, if I were living, the Torah tells us about how great and how special Moshe Rabbeinu was, but who do we have today? I mean, today's rabbis, there are people that unfortunately will mock and make fun and disagree and challenge all levels of rabbis that exist today. So the question is, can we compare the rabbis today to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Hashem? And the Shulchan Kodesh says, we know that those that study Gemara, those that study Talmud, know there's a term midoraisa and midorabanan. Midoraisa means the written Torah, things that are clearly presented in the written Torah. Midorabanan means rabbinical. Rabbinical could be from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, from Moshe Rabbeinu. It could be from Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It could be from Rav Ashi. It could be from the Beis Yosef. It could be from the Rama and Shulchan Aruch. It could be Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. It could be rabbis today. That's all included in that term, midrabanan, rabbinical, our rabbis. The Shulchan Kodesh says midrabanan is the exact same numerical value as Moshe, as Mipi Gvura. And again, this is not coincidence. This is to show us that from our perspective, how we approach these things, when we read the Shulchan Aruch, when we read any kosher sefer, we're reading it as these are part of the words. This is what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. The Ten Commandments are introduced by a pasuk. It says, Vayedaber Elokim es hadvorim ho'eile lemor. Those who know Hebrew here, most of us are familiar with Hebrew, does that sentence make perfect sense? Hashem said the following words. That's what it should say if that was all it meant to tell us. It doesn't say that. It says, Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvorim ho'eila lemor. Take a look in your Chumash, Parshas Yisro. Hashem said all of the following words. What's the all? What is all? The Medrash says this is to teach us that whatever any rabbis in future generations in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, would be teaching the Jewish people, all of this was presented to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. All of this was included in the Ten Commandments. If you'll count the number of letters in the Ten Commandments, you'll see there's exactly 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros. 613, which represent the 613 basic commandments of the written Torah, seven, which include the seven mitzvahs derabanan, the seven rabbinical mitzvahs, lighting candles Friday night, Hanukkah, the other mitzvahs, all alluded to and included in the Ten Commandments, in what was given on Har Sinai. So on Wednesday night this year, when we're going to be lighting the first candle, and we're going to make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav, Vitzivanu, and you, Hashem, commanded us. Lahadlik ner Chanukah. Where does it say that? Where does it say that Hashem commanded us to light Chanukah candles? It's not in the Chumash, is it? We're going to see soon how clearly it is in the Chumash. But in an obvious way, as one of the basic 613 commandments, don't see it there. So how do we say that? There are many answers given to this question. One of the answers is that one of the 613 commandments is do not deviate to the right or to the left of what our rabbis will teach us. That is one of the 613 commandments, that Hashem made it perfectly clear that Judaism is a religion which includes Hashem, Vaya Aminu, we believe in Hashem, Uve Moshe Avdo, and we believe that Hashem has given authority to Moshe Rabbeinu, who passed that scepter to Yehoshua, who passed it to the rabbis all the way till today. Hashem has given the authority of these rabbis to be the presenters of the Torah, to be the ones to teach us, to give us direction, to give us holidays, to give us everything we have in the entire religion. Now, the Gemara does say, again, we have the five books of the Chumash, and we have 60 Gemaras. Person would say, these are two completely separate, independent things. The Chumash, again, there are some people, their perception is, the five books of the Chumash, that's from Hashem. The Gemara is a rabbinical thing. But in the Gemara says, Leka dover de lo ramiza boraisa. There is nothing in the Talmud, in the Gemara, that doesn't have a source in the written Torah. And you'll find those that study Gemara know that generally the Gemara presents a Mishnah, the words of the rabbis, and then the Gemara says, Minahani mili. How did he know this? What's his source in the written Torah for this? So question, where does the Torah tell us about Chanukah? The answer is page 1. Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz, Hashem created heaven and earth. And then there was darkness, v'haaretz haisa sohu, v'avohu, v'choshech al pnei sahom. Four flavors of darkness. Four flavors of darkness, alluding to the four exiles that the Jewish people would experience. Bavel, Paras u'Madai, Yavon, and Edom, Romi, the Golos that we're in today. The third one, Yavon, corresponds to Choshech, darkness. And those are four levels of darkness that we're going to experience. And then, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Hashem said, let there be light, Vayehi Or, and there was light. If you will count the words from Bereshis, 25 words exactly, the 25th word in the Torah is Or, light, alluding to this Chag HaUrim, the holiday of lights, on the only holiday that comes out on the 25th of the month. The word in front of it, Yehi Or, let there be light, Yehi Yud He Yud, 25. Yehi Or is telling us that on the 25th day of a certain month, of the month of Kislev, there's going to be light that's going to counter that darkness. We were first told there's going to be a darkness, there's going to be exile. We're going to be challenged by Nebuchadnezzar, by Bavel, by the Persians, by the Greeks, and by the Romans, all of them. But Hashem says there's going to be a light. There's going to be a light that's going to outshine that. My rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron of Recha, once gave a shir speaking about the plagues, the 10 plagues that took place in Egypt. The Gemara tells us, he asked people, how long did the plague last? And people don't know. Was it a day? Was it a couple of hours? And the Medrash or the Gemara shows it was a whole process. There was a week of warning, and the plague took a week. It was over. It stretched over a period of time of months. The ninth plague, darkness that plagued the Egyptians. The Torah says that for the Egyptians, it was the Yomesh Choshech. It was a darkness that you could touch. Ulechol b'nei Yisrael hoya oyer b'moshvaysam. But for the entire Jewish nation, there was light in their homes. B'moshvaysam. That took place on the 25th day of Kislev. That was on the 25th day of Kislev, that the Egyptians experienced darkness and the Jewish people experience light. This, again, this is in the Chumash, setting a precedent to let us know that in the five books of the Chumash, Hashem has already told us that there's going to be this time later on in history that we're going to be faced with this challenge, and Hashem is going to provide, there's going to be a little bit of light that's going to outshine all of that darkness. Now, we know that when Hashem gave the Torah on Mount Sinai, the entire mountain was on fire. The mountain was on fire, and it's mentioned several times there in Parshas Yisro, and then later on in Chumash Dvarim, where the Torah reviews what took place in the 40 years in the desert, there it mentions it several times, that Vezdvarov Shamatem Mitocha Eish, you heard Hashem's words coming from fire. And it says, Ki Yoreso Mipnei Ha'esh, you were afraid of the fire. It's mentioned several times. A person would ask, what was this all about? We know everything Hashem does has tremendous meaning and significance. What was all of this fire all about? The answer is, there's a pasuk. One of the first things that a child is taught when we teach them Torah is Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. That the beginning of intellect, of knowledge, is respect. Respect for Hashem. Yiras Hashem. Yira means respect. Yira means fear. Fear. Now today you mentioned the word fear. Most people know immediately that's a dirty word. That's fear means fear. A person can die from fright, chas v'shalom. Or there are thousands of books written about phobias, fears, anxiety, things that people are suffering from today. A person would say that's the last thing we would want to see included in our lives, in Judaism, in the Torah. And yet the Torah says, Reishis Chachma, the beginning. If you want to start to give a person wisdom and knowledge, step one is respect. There has to be a level of respect. If there is respect, you can build on that. Yira, respect, fear can lead to love. And the Torah shows us it's a progression. The Hebrew word yira, yud, reish, aleph, hey, and the word ahava, aleph, hey, beis, hey, the second half of the word yira is the first half of the word ahava. It's a natural progression. When people are in a relationship, we have the expression of fall in love. People fall in love. When people fall in love only, then very often they fall out. You can fall in and fall out. When a relationship is built on respect, first there's a level of respect, a yira, a respect, and a fear, meaning a fear of crossing a line. Another human being, there's certain things that I can't say to another human being or that I can't do to another human being. Every human being is part of Hashem. The Torah says if you insult a human being, you're insulting Hashem. And if you show respect for another human being, you're showing respect for Hashem. So there's got to be that element of respect and fear of crossing certain lines. And if that element is there, and it's in a healthy way, it can lead to ahava, it can lead into a love. And the combination of both of those is a certain shlemus, it's a certain completion. Either one without the other one is incomplete. We mentioned that fear and fire go together in the Torah. The pasuk says, Ki Yoreso, and this is the reason why we're told that when Hashem was starting his relationship with the Jewish people on Mount Sinai, fire, thunder, lightning, to know that this is an important element in the relationship. Hashem loves us, and we love Hashem. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. And we're supposed to express gratitude. We're supposed to review every day all the wonderful things that Hashem does for us. My eyes are working. My ears are working. My nose is the thousands of things that we can express gratitude for in our lives. But at the same time, there is this element of respect. Of respect. We pray every day, Hu yiftach libeinu b'soraso, may Hashem open our hearts to His Torah, v'yosem b'libeinu ahavaso v'yiraso, and may Hashem infuse our hearts with a love for Him and a respect for Him. A love and a respect, a love and a fear. So this was the fire at Har Sinai. Hashem was starting the relationship with us knowing that, listen very carefully, I love you, And at the same time, I have expectations and there are obligations. In this relationship, there are certain things that each one can expect from the other one, a certain degree of respect and a certain degree of love. Now, fire we know destroys. Everybody knows that. You set fire to cloth, to wood, to a table, to a hot, major destruction. Fire shortens the life of anything. So the question is, here we're talking about a fire, a fear that we're saying is a healthy fire, a positive fire. Is there such a thing? And the answer is, there's an actual pasuk in the Torah, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yomim. Respect for Hashem, fear of Hashem, will increase your days. It'll expand your days. We know if a person has a job or any kind of responsibility, and the person knows they can come whenever they want. They can come 9 o'clock, they can come 11 o'clock, then the person isn't necessarily motivated when that clock, the alarm clock goes off in the morning, to get up and get out of bed. I'm tired, so what? Time to go. 9 o'clock is check-in. And if I come 9:05, there'll be consequences for it. If a person knows that, that sometimes gives the person that extra motivation. Person's working at a job where they know they have to clock in and clock out, or they know that there's supervision and there's accountability. A person knows that they're motivated to get out. We see today, unfortunately, many children and adults that are struggling with this, not getting out of bed. What do you mean not getting out of bed? What's missing? What's the missing ingredient in the cake? There's something missing there that it's not working. A person has a wonderful cake. They put in all the ingredients, the cinnamon and the spice, and they just left out the flour, that powder, the little bit of white cup of it doesn't work. And if we're teaching, if we're educating ourselves and our children, and we're teaching everything except for this element of consequences, fear, there's an element of fear, a healthy fear, which Yiras Hashem Toisif Yomim. Yiras Hashem is what helps a person get up at 7 o'clock, not at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and gives a person the motivation to put in the time, and the effort that's needed to accomplish. The Torah says, a person will say, Lo Yagati, I didn't work hard, Umatsasi, and I was successful. The Gemara says, don't believe them, they're lying. They think that they have success. Their success isn't really success. A person will tell you, Yogati v'lo matzasi. I tried very hard and I wasn't successful. Don't believe them. Not true. They think they tried. A person fools themselves sometimes. Sometimes a kid struggling. We see it. Kid can't get out of bed. There's a camp trip or there's some kind of trip with grappling with it. The kid is up 4 o'clock in the morning to go there. So it's not can't. The can't, that's not the case. Not motivated enough. So here the pasuk says, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yomim. There's an element of fear that increases, expands a person's days. It gives them more time. I have time. I can get up early. I can do what needs to be done. The word Chanukah, one of the definitions of Chanukah is chinuch. Chinuch means basic education. Chanukah teaches us this incredible lesson. We know, everybody knows, if I have a cup with oil in it, and I have a wick in it, and I light it, the oil will burn for a certain amount of time. The Gemara tells us that the oil, the vial of oil, they found a little vial of oil that was a one-day supply of oil, either one day or some opinions, less than a day. They put a match to it. What happened? Not only didn't the match destroy the oil, it increased the life of the oil. It increased it. That little bit of oil that was a one-day supply ended up burning 8 days. This is teaching us you should know that there's a type of fire. There's a fear, a type of fear that not only doesn't it shorten your life, it increases your life. It gives you the ability to live longer, to live better, to keep growing and expanding. And this is the message. This is the message in Chanukah, the way we light our menorahs. We light the first day, we light one candle, and it looks sort of silly a little. You see that beautiful menorah with 8 places, and we light this one little candle. And then the second day, 2, and then until we come to the 8th day of Chanukah, and it looks gorgeous. I know my wife loves on the eighth day of Hanukkah to close the lights in the room, so the room is dark, and all you see is that those eight gorgeous candles, but it's just incredible. It's so special. So why wait the 8 days? Why not start with eight candles? I mean, come on, we can do the eight candles. Nobody, are we going to hurt anybody if we light eight candles all 8 days? So beautiful, isn't it? The answer is, but that's not the way it works in life. There are some people that think that it's possible. Success, quick fix, easy money, that kind of thing. That I can right away, I can jump to the top. And the Torah teaches us that's not the way it works. First, the child learns letters, then vowels, then words. There's a process that has to take place. And this is why we start, this is our chinuch, to let us know that we start with one candle. What's one candle? It's nothing. It's not nothing. It's not nothing. We light that first candle, and that's an indication that we're going to get to the finish line. Those people who don't light that first candle will never get to the finish line. If a person doesn't make a beginning, then they'll never get to the end. And this is the chinuch of letting us know, mosif v'holech, that Hashem expects us to grow. There's a term in English, to exist. A person is existing. I can exist on food and water and shelter. I can exist. But that's not called living. Living, the term chayim, living, is when a person is living according to the Torah. And living according to the Torah means growth. It means growth. It means advancement. Every day trying to make today better than yesterday. And if I realize I made mistakes yesterday, that's normal. I didn't have the full light yesterday. That's normal. That's everyone is. Nobody got to the finish line in one day. Everyone started with a little bit, and increased until we get to the full measure. This is one of the important messages in this holiday of Hanukkah. And again, just to close, the entire Judaism can be summed up really in two words, emes ve'emuna. We say in the tefillah, emes ve'emuna chok v'lo yavor. Emes, the Torah is called emes. The Torah semes, and in fact, the Torah begins with emes. Creation begins with emes. The first three words in the Torah, Bereshis, Bara, Elokim, the last letters spell the word emes, and the closing letters of creation, we say Friday night in Kiddush, Asher Bara, Elokim, Lasos, again, the last letters emes. The two pillars of creation from beginning to end, emes. That's what Hashem is all about. Hashem Elokeichem Emes. The Torah is Emes. That's what Judaism is. It's the book of truths. The book of truths. However, that's not enough. That's not enough. A person, in addition to Emes, a person needs Emunah. Because what the Torah teaches us clearly that there are certain things that we will not necessarily be able to understand completely. And there are certain things that we won't be able to see, like Hashem. Hashem cannot be seen. And a person would say, truth is something that has to be able to be proven. I have to see it to know that it's true. The answer is that Judaism is a combination of emes and emuna, Torah and tefillah. Tefillah, when we pray to Hashem, we show that we believe that there's a power above nature. If a person is asking Hashem for parnasa, a person is asking Hashem for health, a person, whatever, we're asking Hashem to save us, a person has to believe that there is a Hashem, and that even if according to nature it seems that things are going to go a certain way, the Greeks were thousands of times more and bigger and more powerful and stronger than the Jewish people. But the Torah teaches us it doesn't always work that way. There's something above nature, which is tefillah, which is emunah. When we pray, we're expressing our faith in Hashem, that Hashem is not bound by the laws of nature. Hashem can split the Red Sea. Hashem can get us out of Egypt. A Holocaust. 6 million people were destroyed. And the smartest people in the world used all their brains to try to destroy, wipe out the Jewish nation completely. Today there are thousands of shuls and thousands of yeshivas and hundreds of thousands of Jewish children, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, aren't, just about. There are some small traces, unfortunately. Anti-Semitism isn't gone completely because Mashiach isn't here yet, but the Jewish people are Netzach, are eternal. Hashem is eternal, the Jewish people are eternal. And it's this combination of Emes ve'emuna, of male and female, day and night. The day, daylight, is referred to as Emes. There's a pasuk Hashem orcha va'amitcha, light and truth. Truth is light. At night we say ve'emunascha balelos, that at night when it's dark, when we dark means we can't see. Just because we can see doesn't mean that it's not true. Doesn't mean that we don't believe. We believe in Hashem. This combination of Emes ve'emuna, the eight candles that we're lighting on Hanukkah, the five books of the Torah, and the three prayers, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, that's chinuch, that's basic Jewish education. Hashem should help that we should be able to celebrate, that just as the Jews were able to celebrate thousands of years ago, when the situation looked so bleak, that there was so many surrounded by such a powerful enemy, and the rabbim fell to the miyatim, we should be zeicher that Eretz Yisrael, where we're privileged to be living, and the Jewish nation, which is such a minority in the world, but Hashem says we are expected to be a beacon of light. When it comes to light and darkness, everybody knows that a little bit of light, you have a room this size, and it's dark, you light a candle, that little candle, an inch of a flame, you can see, can light up a room. Ma'at min ha'or docha harbe choshech. This ma'at, this small Jewish nation, and the small group within the Jewish nation that believes in Hashem, that believes in the Torah, that believes in Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, we should be zeichet to see this little bit of light completely eliminate and illuminate the darkness with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen. Any questions?
Sometimes there's like the halacha, but also even hashkafically, there's so many debates and there's so many machlokas. Like, how do we find a streamline of truth when, like, some people sometimes are saying opposite things?
Very good question. That in terms of emet, truth, the Torah is emet, and yet there's such diversity among the rabbis themselves. This one says kosher, this one says complete opposing forces. First of all, how did that come about, and why is that the case? When Hashem created man, Adam and Chava, they had a choice. Hashem said, there are many trees in this garden, all of them available to you. Stay away from that one which has good and bad. Eitz Hadas Tov Ara. The fact that they chose to partake from a combination of good and bad is what placed a situation into the world where good and bad are mixed together. Even in the Torah, we have in our Mishnah, kosher, pasul, tameh, tohar, asur, mutar. We have this situation of a confusion that was placed into the world and even in the Torah, and it requires a search. It requires searching. We are sitting now in a room that's called a bet midrash. The word lidrosh means to search, to seek. That each and every Jew is required to search and seek the truth. Within the Torah itself, there are different opinions, and sometimes the truth for him is not the truth for him. Two people can go in to see a rabbi, an authentic rabbi, a real rabbi, and one person asks, am I allowed to do this? And the rabbi says, no, definitely not. 5 minutes later, another person goes into the same rabbi and says, am I allowed to do this? And he says, it's a mitzvah. It's a very important thing for you to do. And these two meet each other, and he sees him do it. He says, how can you do that? The rabbi said, I am allowed to do it. You're lying. They go to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, no, not lying. For him, this is forbidden, and for you, it's a mitzvah. And there are many instances like that. And this is one of the complexities in the Torah, that by design, not by mistake, Hashem, because this started from that time, and it requires a search. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Asei Lecha Rav. Seek out a rabbi. Each person is required to seek out somebody. But how am I supposed to figure it out? By studying the Torah. By learning as much as you can, the Torah defines what a rabbi is supposed to be. The Torah defines what correct living is. Each and every one of us needs to search, and pray very hard for guidance. There's going to be a minyan for Maariv at 9 o'clock in a few minutes. Maariv, this prayer is said during the nighttime when it's dark. And one of the most important sentences in the prayer is, V'taknenu bi'etza tova milfanecha, where we ask Hashem, please guide me, direct me. We're living in a world of total confusion. And again, Bechira, every minute there are choices to be, every one of us is making thousands of choices during the day. And some of these choices, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know if I do this now, if I buy now, how do I know what's going to be a year from now? Whether it's going to go up or go, all the... This is part of the prayer, pleading with Hashem for direction in every facet of life, especially in choosing a path in Judaism. What shul to, who should be my rabbi, who should, to guide me, to lead me. Question?
Yes. How is, you know, beautiful idea that the Mosif HaHolah is about, you know, gradually increasing chinuch. But then, what then is the Havamina of Beis Shammai that they thought you should start with 8 and then go down?
Very good question. Very important question. This is actually a debate in the Gemara. One opinion says that you start like we do with 1 candle, and Beis Shammai says the opposite, that you start with 8 candles and you go down 7, 6 until there are many explanations given for this. Not alone, just in Rabbi Nachman's in Likutei Halachos, he has maybe 10 or 12 different explanations of this machloket. One of them that I saw today or yesterday is where he explains. There are two, let's look at an elementary school that has 1,000 kids. Come into high school, you have, sometimes you can even have some of those 1,000 kids, or sometimes you see it shrinks a little bit. There's some that fall out, there are some that leave, that don't continue on that same path. You go higher, as you're going higher and higher, it's a pyramid. The Gemara says 1,000 people start off in Chumash, 100 make it to net, and from one of them comes out being a world leader, you know, a dayan, a judge. Beis Shammai said that as a person is advancing, as we're going to higher and higher levels of Torah, we're reaching a smaller audience. You have a yeshiva, you have a kolel. Kolel is not thousands of people. It's a much smaller group of people because it's a higher level of learning, a higher level of learning. And Beis Shammai felt that, again, as a person is rising in greatness, he's teaching a smaller group of people. And we see this. Some of the giants in our generation had a small group, 20, 30 people that they were teaching. Beis Hillel said, I disagree. I say that the greater the tzaddik, the greater the rabbi, the more he has to be able to reach a wider audience. He has to be able to teach the most advanced people, and he has to be able to bring close the people who are furthest away. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aharon, and taught his sons, and taught the Sanhedrin, and he taught Yisro. He was able to take the Pope and make him into a tzaddik. The Ten Commandments is in Parshas Yisro. Imagine, Parshas Yisro, the most important part of the entire Torah, Yisro, this convert whom Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in converting. Many people aren't aware, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when we mention Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, everybody knows Kabbalah, Zohar, limited audience, very limited audience, people that are qualified, able to learn that incredible high level, the secrets of Torah. What people forget and aren't aware of, we're told that he had a group of students. At one point, he had 9 students. At one point, 3 of them passed away. There were 6 students in him, 7, like the 7 days of the week, where he taught these secrets of Torah. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also was the one who orchestrated a world war in the Gemara. The Gemara says there was a situation, 2 of the leading rabbis, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai knew that they disagreed on a certain point. And he orchestrated a situation where this conflict should go public. And Rebbe Gamliel showed a degree of disrespect for Rebbe Yehoshua, and the rabbis decided to impeach him. First and possibly last time in Jewish history, they impeached the Nasi, the chief rabbi. And they took him out and they replaced him. It's a beautiful story. I'm giving it to you short in brief detail. And it says that one of the things that Rabbi Gamliel had instituted as chief rabbi was there was a guard at the entrance to the yeshiva. And anyone who wanted to come to learn, this guard would check him out very carefully to see if he qualified, if he's worthy of being coming into the yeshiva. And there were many people that were kept out. When Rabbi Gamliel was removed, one rabbi says they added 400 benches, not seats, benches to the yeshiva. The other one says it was 700 benches that got added to the yeshiva. And the Gemara begins the story. It says that there was a student who orchestrated this whole world war. At the end of the story, it says, guess who the student was? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And one of the rabbis says, the reason why they don't mention his name in the beginning is because when you hear that he instigated this whole machlokas and everything, you think he's the worst person on earth. But it was all part of a plan to open the doors wide to allow hundreds or thousands of people that were being kept out to be invited in. We have Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer, the largest Jewish gathering on earth, in the entire world, of the entire year, is Lag BaOmer, uncontested. We have stadiums, Teddy Stadium, we have a MetLife Stadium, 93,000 people getting together. Lag BaOmer, before Corona, was up to 500,000 people coming from the most religious to the least religious, the most all-time. That's the greatness of a tzaddik, Beis Hillel says, is how far is increasing the light. That as he's growing, as a tzaddik is growing, he's able to reach a wider audience. He's increasing the light. That's the two opinions. That's one explanation. Happy Hanukkah. If anybody wants, there's a card here that has our website, that has thousands of shiurim from my rabbi, from me. If anybody wants, welcome to take a card. Also has contact information if you should want to be in touch.